Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. Mm-hmm. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and the website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Right now, we're going to rise for the flag salute, and then we're going to follow with a moment of silence to honor our first responders, frontline workers, military service people, people of Ukraine, and also anybody in our community that may be hurting that you know of. Help and support them.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Okay, the first order of business is the presentation of minutes, and we have several to go through here. Minutes of the regular meeting of October 5th, 2023. We have two proposals, one Committeeman Schmidt and also one Karen Sandors, our clerk, amended the minutes, and I also have a couple of changes, but any discussion?
Could I make my my proposed amendment?
So, yeah.
Obviously, we've been going back and forth a few times on the October 5th meeting. What I'd like to propose now are changes to two of the public comment portions. So I propose on page 4 of 7, and this was distributed to the committee mm-hmm. last week, I would delete the section, the fourth paragraph that reads, Ms. Nicole Gallo denounced a political mailer that was sent out in the township and stated her support for Clerk Karen Sandors, Mr. McKee, Ms. Kohler. Ms. Gallo censured Mayor Schmidt and Mr. Wilson for actions they have taken. So that would be deleted, replaced by a transcript of the actual statements made starting at minute 52 of the recording. So Ms. Gallo stated, I come here in support of Karen, Tom, and Bev because of the mailer that went out to the town. I'm embarrassed by it. If anything, Guy, Sharon, or whoever decided to send it, it did not help your campaign. It actually hurt it. We are a small community. We don't have to agree. We don't. We are very divided in many situations. But to sit here and send something like that, those are alleged allegations. There is a lawsuit. The plaintiff is upset, and they have a right to feel that way. Until this is decided, for that to be sent out, that was terrible. And if I'm not recalling, there have been meetings where both of you have said something about a lawsuit. And at first I thought you meant the BA, which we should be talking about, but that's not what you meant. You literally meant this lawsuit against the three of them. I really applaud the three of them for being the utmost respectful, full of integrity, working very hard. I'm sure Karen, with the Oprah request, with everything going on with NAR, I can't even imagine what that office must be like. I worked with the Board of Education before, so I understand what Oprah requests are, what the situation is. But it takes a lot of nerve. Honestly, Mike, you sold out the town. You allowed an attorney to write a letter to NAR giving them a green light to come here and apply for an application without being board approved. Guy, a woman was here complaining about speed limits on your street, and you totally dismissed her. That was not okay. So in reality, your own actions speak for themselves. The voters know. We saw it. It's not okay. I think the town should straighten themselves out. This campaign stuff that you guys are doing, it's not okay. We're not the federal government. We're a small community. We should agree to disagree respectfully. That slander was terrible. I'm telling you, I'm going through it myself. It's not okay. We can agree to disagree. We need to be respectful. We need to be polite. But this is not. But this does not hold good water for you guys. This is going to hurt you. I guarantee you will see it at the polls. At which time, Committeeman Guy R. Wilson responded, I know nothing about it. You know where I found that card? In the dumpster for recyclables. I said, what's that card doing there? What is this? So I went on and saw it. I didn't sponsor it. I didn't ask for it. I have no idea where it came from, and I agree with you. It doesn't help the situation. Gallo, I'm not going to call you a liar. I don't know if you are telling the truth or not. Wilson, I am telling the truth. I have nothing to do with that. I have no idea this was going on. I don't even know who did it, and I'm offended by it. Gallo, and you should be. Wilson, I'm offended by your inclination to say that I had something to do with it, or that. Gallo, you should be. It has you guys written all over it. It leads right back to you guys. Wilson, oh, it does? Do you work for the prosecutor's office? Gallo, I don't work for the prosecutor's office. Wilson, show me the proof. Gallo, in reality, Wilson, that's what we deal with in law is proof. Gallo, it shows straight out to Lebanon Township 411 about a lawsuit here against three people that you, Wilson, you're assuming. Gallo, excuse me. You and Mike both specifically mentioned lawsuits at a couple of the meetings. Now you are saying publicly you had no idea about it. Wilson, I had nothing to do with it. Gallo, so then you should have your conscience clear. You should have your conscience clear. Wilson, it is. Gallo, okay, if the town believes you, then that's great. Wilson, fine. Gallo, okay. Wilson, if they don't, then that's fine too. Gallo, okay, but then you guys need to get to the bottom of what this ugly campaigning is about. And then when you brought up, Mike, about a banner about Bev, I mean, I understand that you think that we may need a policy for that, and that is something that can be discussed, but in reality, the way you portrayed it, it looked like it was an attack on Bev. Again, and you may not see it that way, but we do. You have to open up your mind. I understand there is a campaign. I'm in a campaign. It's not fun. It's not, I get it. Okay, I do get it. But it almost seems like you have an agenda when you walk in here against them. It's not okay, so I hope that you guys can start. Let's be men and women. Let's show the youth that we can be men and women of integrity and honesty, not like this. Then two public comments down. The current draft of the minutes reads, Ms. Victoria Servilli commented on sarcastic remarks made by Mayor Schmidt and Mr. Wilson. I would propose deleting that and replace it with the actual words said by Ms. Victoria Servilli, starting at 1 hour and 13 minutes of the recording. Ms. Victoria Servilli came to the microphone and started. When you have a comment to say to each other, you do it without any care if we can hear it or not. Is that okay? Your little remarks, your little sarcasm, you do it all the time. Yes, don't act surprised, you do it all the time, and we have to be reprimanded by you. You work for me, I am the township resident, you are there because we put you there, and we'll take you out when we have to. Those are the two amendments that I would propose. I would make a motion that we amend the minutes with those amendments.
Any discussion?
Mike, disapprove with what is stated here, which simply says Ms. Gallo stated her disapproval of actions taken by Mayor Schmidt and Mr. Wilson.
Are you asking what I object to on that?
We can't hear you guys, sorry.
If you're asking what I object to, in the December 21st meeting, I tried to go into some detail. I know the recording didn't necessarily capture all of it. There was a stoppage in the recording. But it's very insidious to say censured for actions they have taken. When Guy Wilson denied any of the actions that were alleged, and I did not, I'm not sure what actions were alleged that I was taken. So to say censured for actions taken does not represent what was stated or actual facts. It implies facts that don't exist.
Right, but I believe that has been removed and replaced by the simple sentence, unless I'm misunderstanding here, the sentence of Ms. Gallo stated her disapproval of actions taken by Mayor Schmidt and Mr. Wilson. That's under the revised...
Oh, I haven't seen a revised set of minutes. I know you just referred to them, but I haven't
seen it. Yeah, it was in our package. It's in red.
Oh, it just arrived tonight.
No, it's...
It came with the original agenda package.
Yeah, with the original.
There's changes were made because of the concern mentioned about the word censored.
I believe it was removed.
Yeah, and I could even shorten it even more. If you want,
twice already have proposed shortening to be in line with the township's policy on minutes. Mm-hmm. That was rejected. So last meeting, Mr. McKee suggested that we should honor the words spoken by the residents and not try to change them. So now I've decided let's put the words that the residents said.
Well,
obviously, I don't agree with the mm-hmm. many of the comments that were said, but I'd rather have the actual words of the residents than paraphrasing.
Could you live with, on page 4, under public comments, and I know you didn't get a chance to look at it yet, but just take a look at the red mark, orange, whatever it is on your copy.
Under public comment.
Yeah, it's under public comment, page 4. I think we could put this to bed on these minutes with just two little changes. Because they're comprehensive, they're a good summary, And we don't want to turn this into transcripts because you're going to have to be consistent constantly with transcripts. We'll be publishing a book pretty soon. But anyway, if you go down...
I've said that all year.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
I know, but it's, you still, you don't want to lose... You don't want to lose the context of what you're talking about. But what I was thinking here is public comments. If you go down, you see where it's in orange, Ms. Gallo stated her disapproval of actions taken by Mr. Wilson and Mayor Schmidt.
I'm actually not finding that in my...
It should be right behind your one you had.
It's the fourth paragraph of public comments.
Public comments, the fourth.
Only part that's italicized.
Ms. Gallo.
Yeah, read that and then I'll tell
no,
you.
But actions weren't taken by Mayor Schmidt or Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson denied the allegations.
I'm going to get rid of that. I'm just going to go ahead. I know. So that's good. I can tell you what we could.
Why she could say, if it said Ms. Gallo stated her disapproval of the campaign, full stop, period.
This is what I suggest. Ms. Nicole Gallo denounced a political mailer that was sent out in the township, period.
That captures part of what she said?
Is it okay?
I mean, you guys control the vote, so you guys decide.
Oh.
No, I mean, that would be a comprehensive enough statement.
That would be better than suggesting that I took any actions.
Right. Yeah. That would get rid of that. And then if you go down and say... If you go down to where it says Miss Victoria Cervelli commented on sarcastic remarks, babe, take out the word sarcastic. Miss Victoria Cervelli.
Take out the words Mayor Schmidt, and I just told you exactly what she said. If you remember the context of that meeting, there was a letter written, directed at you, and as that person got up and walked away, if you listen to the recording, the audience started to make derogatory comments toward that person who made a comment. And I said, please, let's treat everyone with respect. I referred to Ms. Gallo and said, let's follow Ms. Gallo's example. We're going to treat everyone with respect. Mm-hmm. Guy Wilson, at the same time, amplified that point. Ms. Cervelli came up and started exactly the way I said about when you have a comment to say to each other, you do it without any care if we can hear it or not. I didn't make comments to each other. I don't make comments to each other in the meetings. I don't know who she's referring to. So to assume that she's referring to me and Guy Wilson specifically is an editorial comment that doesn't match the facts.
Maybe we say by committee members. I don't know. Is that taking it out of context?
Directed to committee members.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
But
I don't know if that's... It's not the what was said, so that's... You're the keeper of the record, so you have to...
Sarcasm was the smallest part of her point.
Can you find a way to just rework that and keep it short?
Ms. Cervelli commented on comments made by the committee. I think that would be as short as I could see.
It's made by the committee. How do you feel about that? I mean, is it... It captures it.
It
captures it, so you don't have to worry then. It doesn't have to be targeted at...
Well, what I'm reading, I'm only taking a little snapshot. It says what she says, when you have comments, say to each other. So obviously she's commenting on comments made by township committee members.
Right. Right.
So Ms. Victoria Cervelli commented on remarks made by the committee.
Correct.
That's the way it goes. And those two changes, and then if there's nothing else...
Let's go over the other change.
No, was there another one in here?
Page 4, third comment under public comments. Ms. Gallo right here.
Yeah, that's the one that I just...
And it's going to now say...
Ms. Nicole Gallo denounced a political mailer that was sent out in the township.
Okay, everything else goes.
Mm-hmm.
Any other changes?
I'm fine. So if you're saying that my first motion died,
I don't think there was much action on it.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just have to.
There wasn't a second, right?
We can take one motion off the table.
Yeah, right. And we just go right to.
So now I'll make a motion to approve the two amendments that you just.
As Karen's, I don't know. This is, I don't know what iteration of updates this is, but it's but it's the clerk's version amended by the committee.
Amended version.
Yeah.
By the committee tonight.
As just described. So the fourth public comment now reads, Ms. Nicole Gallo denounced a political mailer that was sent out in the township, period. Mm-hmm. The rest of that line is deleted.
Yep.
And what did you have for Ms. Victoria Civilli commented on remarks made by the township committee?
Ms. Victoria Civilli commented on remarks made by the committee.
Made by the committee.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I don't think Abe was here.
Oh. Yeah, I think Abe has to abstain.
Oh, yes. So now we have. Okay. So Abe has to abstain, and so does Brian.
Yeah.
And Brian did abstain.
At October?
I think so.
Yeah.
October 5th?
Oh, no, it
October
says absent, but December 7th.
Oh, no, we're looking at October 5th, okay. Abe. The first set of minutes on October 5th.
Wait a second. Was I not there?
When did he get sworn in?
I don't know.
No, he couldn't have been here because Mark resigned on the 14th.
Yeah,
so that's right. So you'll have
it
to abstain.
Right. It indicates that Mark Lau was absent.
Yeah.
The minutes themselves indicate that. He wasn't on the committee.
Okay.
On a roll call.
I see. Absent. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Well, so we have the three of us that are going to vote on it, I guess. It'll be.
We already did.
Well, okay, so that we have to make sure, so he has to undo his...
No, just he abstained.
He did abstain. Okay, all right. He's changed it to abstain. Okay. So that's October 5th. Now let's move to the minutes of the executive session, executive session of December 7th, 2022. Sorry. Any discussion? If not...
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of executive session December 7th, 2022.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. It's from my old seat. I'm sorry.
How do you think I'm feeling?
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
I can't vote.
Oh, the...
Abstain.
He wasn't here December 7th?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so, yes. Okay, so then we move on to the minutes of the executive session, the minutes of the special and special executive session minutes of December 12th, 2022. I don't have any comments, but if anybody else does, any discussion?
I have none.
Can I get a
motion to accept the minutes of December 12th, 2022?
And second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's the two of them. Then we have the minutes of the special and special executive session minutes of December 13th, 2022. Any discussion? If not, an approval?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of December 13th, 2022, and the minutes of the special executive session of the meeting on December 13th, 2022.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. With that, we're going to open to public comment. Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only.
Okay. Can I get a
second?
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, any member of the public would like to get up and speak about agenda items only?
Bring Bill.
What's up, Bill?
No Bill today. I think he's sleeping. Ladies and gentlemen. Paul Lewis, 57 Sligo. I know you know you were typing it before I even sat here. I have a couple things. The EOSC members, I wanted to touch on something Bev mentioned yesterday that you guys just learned about the availability of not bringing someone from the EOSC onto the planning board, that we can do the opposite.
It's not on the agenda.
It says right here, appointment of EOSC members. I wanted some clarity, that's all, from something yesterday. Old business? You want me to give you one?
Oh.
I can hook you up. You got it?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I just wanted to understand that the has that ever been done before? Is that something that we're just going to look into doing? Is that something that is it's just been habit that we've done it where we've had someone? Because I actually like that idea. It seems a way to get some new kind of light into the EOSC. I think it's an important group, and I wanted to understand if everyone was on board with even that possibility, rather than I liked what Bev said yesterday. It was kind of the first I was hearing of it, and it seemed pretty substantial to understand. So that's why I was just understanding kind of where you guys were, because I didn't realize. I thought it was the planning board decided, but I just found out yesterday that it's kind of a mayoral appointment from, and that's just a suggestion from the planning, and I'm just trying to understand what's going on. I'm new to it, so I just kind of understand if you guys have any idea on that kind of stuff of what we're figuring with that.
Let me address it, Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Excellent.
So, so basically, both boards are statutory planning board. Planning board appointments are mayoral appointments, except for the Class 3, which is a township committee member, which the committee votes on.
Mm-hmm.
Environmental Commission, when you have Environmental Commission, which township does, those are also mayoral appointments. There's nothing under the municipal land use law that dictates who should be appointed as far as the Environmental Commission. It's actually the statute dealing with Environmental Commission says that one of the members of the Environmental Commission has to be a planning board member. That's the crossover member.
Okay.
So by virtue, so that when the appointments are made to the Environmental Commission, you have to ensure that one of those persons is a member of the planning board. So that'll give you the crossover.
Okay. So that's what I was trying to say. So it doesn't always have to go from EOSC to planning board. It can go either way.
So again, don't make it more complex than it is.
It's very complex.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just be clear about
right.
that.
Well, when you look at it, right. So unfortunately, you know, people who write statutes,
mm-hmm.
especially the state level, for whatever reason, they don't like easy grammar.
Mm-hmm.
So MLUL says basically they dictate classes of people on the boards.
Yep.
And then they give you – then they talk about terms, mm-hmm. right? So all they say is – and then with respect to the Environmental Commission member, it dictates, depending on who else is on the board, what that just tells you is that what class that Environmental Commission member is going to be. Mm-hmm. They're either going to be a Class 2 or a Class 4. But it doesn't say that the – it does not say – when I say the MLUL with respect to planning board members, it does not say that the planning board must appoint a member of the Environmental Commission on it. It doesn't say that. It just says that the Environmental Commission member is typically either going to be a Class 2 member or a Class 4 member. And that also depends if there's somebody on the zoning board on the planning board, if there's a member of the Board of Education on the planning board, and then there's one other class that I don't recall. So that's all that the MLUS says with respect to Environmental Commission and the appointment, right? Mm-hmm. It just dictates the class.
Okay.
The Environmental Commission statute clearly states that a member of the Environmental Commission shall, and uses the word shall, which means must, include a member of the planning board.
Okay.
So you get your crossover member to the planning board.
Got it.
By virtue of the appointment. The person on the Environmental Commission, who's that crossover person?
Okay. So I have a follow-up question to that, if that's okay. And I'll direct it right at you because you seem like...
Well, direct it to the mayor, and then...
Mayor might have to spit this back
that's
over.
All right. That's
if there wasn't an EOSC, would there still be a class, a member with that class on the board then?
Yes.
That one, yeah.
So if you don't, so the only difference is, right, so if you don't have an Environmental Commission,
mm-hmm.
right, so then with that, you still have the same class members, two or four. It just will be that if you don't have the Environmental Commission, whether it's a Class 2 or a Class 4, when you look at who those class members would be, it just wouldn't be a Environmental Commission member.
Would it either have to be a board member, Board of Education member, or just could be just a...
Right, well, again, so Class 4 members... Those it describes who it is. If you don't have, right, if you don't have any of those boards, that'll dictate what that class person is. Doesn't have to be Environmental Commission member. Class two is typically a class two is an official of the township.
Okay.
Now, an official in township could be sometimes if you have a fire official, they appoint the fire official.
Right.
Sometimes towns, if they have a director of public works, they'll appoint a public works director.
Right.
That's a township official. Mm-hmm. If it's a class, then your class four member, typically most towns don't have a zoning board member on it because it doesn't have to be a zoning board member. And they don't have a board of education member either. Mm-hmm. So then your class four members are just everybody else who are township employees.
Okay. So then I think, unless he gives me some more information, I think a follow-up and final question for me on that is, then my understanding, again, and not to overcomplicate it with the reciprocation from one to the other, but then the tradition or no, let's take that off. The appointment on that board doesn't have to be the chair of the board then, if I'm clear.
No.
Okay.
I'm glad that you asked this question because it's all on the audio tape now because it's so confusing. I'm glad that he weighed in.
I need clarity because when I try to figure it out, sometimes, you know, it's late at night. I'm after a full day of work and working on my house, and then I try to read.
Right.
It's not a fiction novel. Okay. And then I believe that was the only thing on the agenda that I wanted to touch on, just to be clear. Recreation Commission and curators. That's it. Thank you very much for the clarity. I appreciate it.
Any other comments on agenda items only?
Bob Mickle.
Just a point of order, is it normal that you can change a transcript from a prior meeting? Has that been done before? I think that, I mean, to me, the transcript is a transcript.
The transcript was not changed.
Pardon me?
The transcript was not changed. What was changed is the minutes.
Yeah. It's not an official transcript that was written up. It's not like you have a professional here like you do.
Is that a normal occurrence that, you know, we go back and something that was already...
Well, the minutes, those were proposed changes to the clerk's minutes.
Okay.
So that Mike had, Mike Schmidt had proposed changes to the original minutes, which were shorter, and he had some issues, and he wanted to have, you know, a little more lengthy minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just decided we're going back to shorten the minutes. And make them. They still have to be comprehensive by law.
Right.
But we're also getting into a point here where you run the risk of overstepping the time frame that you have to have minutes approved at the Government Records Council. I don't know if it's 5 months, something like that. We're at the 3-month point now.
I couldn't tell you, but just if I could, Mayor, I don't want to take over your meeting. But the transcript is the transcript, right? And there isn't a transcript. You had a recording, and that's of the meeting. But minutes are summaries, right? It's a summary you're trying to capture of event. If you were to be verbatim on your minutes, and some towns used to be planning board meetings that way, your minutes are literally that long, right?
Right.
So you capture a summary, and all they did was amend that summary.
Okay. Well, I was just surprised.
And that's an unusual.
I've never
that's
seen
not
that
unusual.
Done before.
It's not unusual to change.
No.
Change
okay.
The summary.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Limited to agenda items only? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. I was waiting for you to abstain. Okay, so next on the items here is the ordinance. It's the public hearing. If you remember at the reorg meeting, those of you who that were here, we introduced the ordinance, authorizing the 2023 salary for officers, employees of the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon. So we're going to open the public hearing tonight for that. And then once this is approved, then we can go to the resolution, because these are salary ranges. But we can go to the resolution and put the specific salaries for the individuals that work in the township. So
just a clarification, since I wasn't here on introduction, can I vote for adoption?
For adoption, you can vote for adoption. That's fine.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'd like to open up the public hearing.
Oh, that's right. Can I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
I'll make a motion, ordinance number 2023-03, salaries, public hearing, authorizing the salary of officers and employees of the Township of Lebanon.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, any member of the public would like to speak about this ordinance? Seeing none?
I do have a quick question.
Yeah.
I don't have to. Just for, it's like officers. That's not like police officers. That's just the officers of the different departments, correct? Or does that include this salary from
who's,
officers?
It's who's a police chief?
Yeah, it's the police. It's police officer, police sergeant, police chief.
Okay. Seeing no other.
Yeah. I'm just looking. He's looking at the header. That's what it is. It says salary for officers and employees of the township.
Is that locking their salaries in?
Into a range. And then what happens is within that range, specific salaries will be put out via a resolution, which will follow once we adopt this ordinance.
Is there discussion going on with them about that, or there was any kind of...
A prior contractual discussions took place, and there's ongoing ones now.
I guess we would need more information on that before we...
Right. Any other comments during the public hearing on this item? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make that motion to close portion of public hearing for ordinance number 2023-03.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Motion to approve.
Yes. With that, can I get a motion? If there's no discussion, can I get a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-03, or authorizing the 2023 salary for officers and employees of the Township of Lebanon?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay. With that... I don't know if you want to talk about LOSEP, but this is a resolution number 25-2023 to resolution approving LOSEP payments to certain Lebanon Township Fire Company members for the qualified year of 2021.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yes.
It's a little late. Supposed to really be back in February of that year or the following year, 2022, but was delayed. But we finally have it completed, and it's posted for 30 days at the... three fire department buildings and the municipal building, so that if there's any individuals feel that they were left out, they have the opportunity to look at the list and put in their, you know, talk to someone to see if there's a reason why or why not. So that's been out for the 30 days. Now this is before us to approve, and it has the names of the individuals who qualified this year for 2021, and I hope we have 2022s within the next couple of weeks. So this is a little bit behind. But anyways.
Okay. So any more discussion, or can I get a...
The only thing I may add is there's five people that qualified. Each person qualified for $700, and the total amount of this LOSAP payment is $3,500.
Okay. Can I
and
get...
And I will make that motion to approve resolution number 25-2023 for those LOSAP payments.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we go to the, let's see, Resolution 26-2023, Municipal Alliance Fiscal Grant Cycle from October 2020 to June 2025. And this is basically a grant that there's a, the municipalities get together and they, the county of Department of Human Services applies for a grant to this of the state, the governor, and apply for the grant for the funds, and they, and what this does is we, the funds will go to Voorhees High School. It's for treatment. It's to talk about drug abuse, to help kids not, you know, get involved in drugs, and the funds come to, actually the funds come from fines collected from individuals who are convicted of drug offenses. So this is basically a resolution to say that Lebanon Township hereby authorizes submission of a strategic plan for the Voorhees Municipal Alliance grant for fiscal 2024 in the amount of, and it's a, there's a DEDR, they call it Drug Enforcement Demand Reduction, amount of $7,306, a cash match of $1,826.50, and an in-kind services match of $5,479.50. This is not our money. This is the county that we're authorizing the county to spend this money on this program. So with that, any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 26-2023, Municipal Alliance Fiscal Grant Cycle, October 2020 to June 2025?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So, let me see. These are the 2020. Hang on 1 second here. Didn't we just go over this, the salaries?
No, this is a resolution we have to table.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have to... Okay, that's what it is. Okay, we're going to have to table. Yeah, we don't... We're not... We haven't adopted it yet, so we have to... The ordinance, so we have to table the salaries is what you're talking about?
Yeah,
that's...
The
yes, okay. Okay, so that's going to be tabled. Old business?
You want to take a motion to table, Mayor?
Sure. Can I get a motion to table the 2023 salaries?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay. And with that, we're going into the appointment of EOSC member. I'm going to appoint one tonight. There are going to be others that are going to be forthcoming on this. And what I want to do is, as you probably all know, Adam Duckworth resigned from the Environmental Commission as chair. His resignation included that he was a chair. And we're going to move Sharon Petzinger, who's currently a regular member who got reappointed on at the reorg meeting. I recommend that she be appointed as chair of the Environmental Commission, the EOSC. She began with the EOSC at the end of 2015. She is a wildlife biologist with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection for 20 years, New Jersey born and raised. And... congratulations on your appointment. It's a natural progression for you. It's great. So, okay. And like I said, more appointments to all of the boards are forthcoming. We're interviewing. We're trying to do a lot right now, so they'll be coming soon.
Before we leave the USC,
yes.
Could I just make a note to acknowledge and thank Adam Duckworth. Adam mm-hmm. spent 10 years on the Environmental mm-hmm. Open Space Commission, and he was chairman for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a lot of work during mm-hmm. that time. We appreciate all of the volunteer service.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. That's great. With that, we move on to new business, and the first is the approval of a junkyard license for Bird's Auto Salvage. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve Bird's Auto Salvage on 591 East Hill Road.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. The second one is an approval of a junkyard license for A.S. Milkowski & Sons, LLC. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve the A.S. Mikowski & Sons Salvage Yard on Rocky Run Road.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Then I have here, we have to schedule the 2023 budget meetings, and typically we hold the Thursdays in March, so I thought we'd start with that, if that's okay with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And check with the CFO. When I talked to the CFO, March 2nd is on the cusp. He can't guarantee that all the information will come in. If you want to schedule that, it might have to be moved.
Okay. Well,
canceled, or if you want to start with the 9th.
Your birthday?
There's actually 5 Thursdays in that month.
Yeah, that's what
we could skip the 2nd and start with the 9th and go right on through.
Yeah, that's
it.
All right. Yeah, let's do that. We'll have a cake.
Normally we start, what do we usually start those? Four?
They've been moved earlier.
Yeah.
As early as four, as early as people.
Can you guys make it at four?
From March 9th?
Well, it would be. It's going to be every Thursday from March 9th through the 30th.
Right, 3-9, 3-16, 3-23, and if need be, 3-30.
About 5.
Yeah, I'm good.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock okay for you?
Yes.
Okay. So the budget meetings will be Thursday, March 9th, Thursday the 16th, Thursday the 23rd, and Thursday the 30th. We may not need them all, but we'll set them up, and it'll be 5 p.m. Okay.
Do we need a motion to schedule those special meetings?
Yeah, I guess we do.
We'll make the motion to schedule those special meetings.
You get
second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, the next is the employee, the employee volunteer appreciation event. I think it's going to be you and me, Brian.
Really?
Working on it. Because we're the newcomers.
Oh, jeez, okay.
So what I did, I anticipated this was going to, we've always had to have problems if we're going to do it at the Memorial Park. A lot of times everything's booked. So what I ended up doing was talking to Kim about 2 months ago and said, hey, could you just hold Saturday, June 10th? Because that was always a day, the second Saturday, no graduations, no communions, no farmers doing hay, no vacations. So that always was a good time. So if everybody's okay with that date. Yep. Discussion. Can I get a motion to approve Saturday, June 10th for the volunteer appreciation event?
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. And we'll assume it's going to be at Memorial Park. If there are any changes, we'll let you know. Okay. With that, we're going to move on to presentation.
Mayor, I'd like to bring up a couple items, questions on their old business. Any updates on the front doors that anyone's aware of?
So,
curious.
Do you want me to give a little background? So, I mean, partly
go ahead.
When coming out of COVID, we had, let me bring people up to speed. These doors are obviously rusting out a little bit at the bottom. I think more than 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had a quote from, we looked around, we got a quote from Anderson for their E-Series doors. We liked the doors a lot. Then COVID hit, supply chain issues hit. There were issues where, if you remember, there were trade wars.
Mm-hmm.
Hardware wasn't coming from wherever.
Raw materials weren't available.
So it went into a 2-year delay or so. Finally, Anderson basically canceled all orders. Tom took it upon himself to see if, during 6 months or so, to see if there were alternative doors that we could find in the market that we liked as much.
And
as he was concluding there weren't, Anderson came back and said they're restarting the line. We re-met now a couple of months ago with the Anderson representative who remeasured the doors, and they've promised us a quote that will hold to the old price, but that quote is slow in coming. So the answer is that we're trying to get the price that we had more than 2 years ago for the doors. It's still in process, but that's exactly where we are.
Okay. I noticed there's several big boxes underneath the downstairs stairwell. Any plan for what those are going to be done with? I guess they have to be cleaned. There are books, maybe, and documents.
What's that, Brian?
Underneath the stairwell, there's big boxes full of...
Oh, the record books you're talking about. Is
I guess
that
they
correct?
Need to be cleaned or something? Is there any?
That was a recommendation from RK Environmental that we put them into plastic for now, and then eventually something has to be done with them
so
to save those things.
With,
I think that's a budget item that we all have to talk about if we want to bring it up, because there's other things as well I think we need to talk about on buildings and grounds.
Have we had any kind of estimate on that?
No,
at all?
Not yet.
So we'll have to reach out to somebody for that.
Yes.
What I do recall is that RK said he had somebody who does that kind of work, and they do it better than what I guess what we had done previously, which I don't know what was done previously. Like, it'll keep it from getting mold
and, you know, it's out there somewhere. I could, you know, I probably can find it in my files. I wasn't really involved in it, but he mentioned it, so.
I brought up before trees, particularly right now, the cherry trees out front. If the committee takes a look at them when they get a chance, you'll notice a couple of them right by the sign are badly split, seriously split. The one to the left from here, maybe that should be addressed. We should ask the DPW maybe if that's something they can handle. But we don't have to vote on that now. I just want you to look at that. I'm going to need an updated OEM manual, Karen. I don't have the updated version of the OEM.
I have to talk to police chief on that.
Talk to him?
Yeah.
Is that that's not the county. Is that the one that Joe Maurizio worked on?
Yeah, that was like 19 or something. I don't know if it's been updated since then or changed. Yeah.
Oh, I think, isn't it every 10 years? It might be a different manual.
I don't have
okay.
it.
Okay,
so all
right.
I don't have to have that.
Okay.
Also, I've been bringing up for years, we should run government more like a private business. I think we need to start getting a policy where we're doing annual employee evaluations every year. And we need to get some consistency with the way our time cards are being filled out. I think that's something we're going to need to discuss in the future here. I attended Veterans Haven. Rolling Thunder 3 had a... event up there, and we had dinner for the veterans. Just out of coincidence, I'm a Rolling Thunder National Security member. Next year I'll have 20 years in that. It was a good event, good turnout. And I think that's all I got.
Well, since we're under old business and we're going to add items, I forgot to mention that the new website is up. It's been migrated. I'm surprised I'm not in the nut house, but you know, that was some migration. I learned a lot in that process. But so there's still updating that has to be done, but at least you know it's done, you can use it. And I am using the public as a beta test site. Give us feedback because we do have a year's worth of free formatting type updates, so we will take things into consideration. As far as updating, once the boards are appointed, you'll start to see new names in there. I'll do what I can. I got as many updates as I squeaked it in there. That wasn't really supposed to be about updates. It was supposed to be about a migration, but I didn't want to go out there with it with an old list of township committee people and phone numbers and the police and everything. So I did what I could. I worked with them. I was joined at the hip with GoDaddy and the ESC to get that done, and it was really good learning experience.
I got more.
I thought you were done. I wouldn't have jumped in.
Probably won't get an answer, but I'm going to ask, is there anything we can share with the residents in regards to the administrator issue or an R?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
Wow.
Okay, so now we're back to presentation of the vouchers.
May I ask a question about the website real quick? The calendar? I know there's some things that are missing on the calendar, which I see there is.
There are things that are wrong on the calendar.
There are also things yes. that are wrong, but the old calendar, one thing that I have to say is glance at it and see everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see these little dots and you gotta click each thing. So the mobile version.
I don't know. I don't have
on my phone.
Yeah, I don't have that on mine. I'll have to look. Talk to me offline about it because I know that thing inside out now and I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
I'll
so
he could outside of the meeting
he could possibly be updating things right now and it's a formatting issue or something because that calendar he's working on it this
yeah.
week.
Okay. Before you leave, as long as you guys don't have exactly what you're doing. Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'll.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just send me an email or something. We'll deal with it. So presentation of the vouchers.
Okay. The first voucher I would actually suggest, or I think it has to be removed from the voucher list because I'm not aware that it had a committee vote. It's $1,000 reimbursement to Beverly Kohler for the reorg event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a committee vote on that.
I was told that was in the it was in the budget for the event. That's what I was told.
That's
checked.
For years
it's been there.
Yeah.
So I picked I picked up $4,500 for that. So, you know.
Very
nice. Yeah. You're welcome.
We never
put it on a policy where we vote on any amount over $1,000.
Well, not to get into this, but that room over there cost $9,000, and that was no committee vote either. So there were this was in the budget.
I've been the point person on the budget the last 6 years, and I'm not aware of where it is in the budget. I did ask the CFO. Mm-hmm. He's not aware where it is in the budget. So I also have a question whether public taxpayer money can be used for a private party. I don't know what the invitation policy was on this. I don't know who was involved.
That wasn't.
So I would suggest we put it on the agenda for next meeting.
That wasn't a private party. It was a township reorg event. Whoever was here was invited to that event. And the $1,000, I didn't ask for the $1,000. The $1,000 came to me. I gave the receipts. And what they did was what was in the budget, they gave to me.
Your wife was there.
Would you like me?
Well,
happens every year.
I did. Karen, you might want to jump in on this.
I can't sign a $1,000 with.
Yeah.
Send it down here. I'll sign it.
The same with the, you know, they have the picnic and. Okay. I checked with everybody here. I checked.
I can assure you it's not been in the budget the last 5 years. And it's not. There's been no expenditure the last 5 years. Is it under miscellaneous in administration? Because it's not. I checked the budget. Mm-hmm. There's no budget item for reorg event.
Sending choose to use it and some do not. In the past, it has been $1,000 has been earmarked for that.
And do we have a policy for $1,000 or up that the committee votes to spend the money, even if it's in the budget? That's what we do. There was no vote to spend this money. Mm.
Was there a vote to spend the money on
Aren't
the
we vote tonight
conference
on it?
Room?
If someone makes a motion and votes, you're welcome to vote. I'm just saying I can't sign this because there's no committee vote.
That's right. So we make a motion that we spend the money.
I'll sign if you want to pass it down.
Just a second.
Because
second.
All of the other ones.
Okay.
Get a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
I have to say this has been kind of something that has been done in the past historically in this township, and it's not been brought to the attention of the township committee. I had, in fact, when I had the mayorship, I did the same thing, and they reimbursed me the $1,000, and there was a line item. I don't know exactly where it is.
And you ended that line item when the town was in very difficult financial straits.
That might be the truth of
that.
You ended
it, and it was never resumed. So I don't even know if you're saying it's in the 2023 budget, which we haven't discussed yet.
You know what, Mike? What we can do is cancel it because I don't care. I'll pay it myself.
There's a motion on the floor.
There's a motion on the floor.
And it's been seconded, so we need to get a vote.
Pass the hat around. I'm sorry. Who made the motion?
I did.
I seconded it.
Mm-hmm. Roll call.
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Oh, I can't. Abstain. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Then I have Ardito and Company, the first 25% payment for the annual audit, $7,649. County of Hunterdon, our county tax payment in total for the first quarter, $783,668.53. Our open space tax for the first quarter payment to the county, $74,846.76. And our general code updating, to the total $1,195, and return of overpayment of third and fourth quarter taxes due to 100% disabled veteran in the amount of $7,573.72.
I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer. It's general matters for December 2022 for $2,479.17. The other one I have here is for Finch Fuel Oil for Station 2, and the Squad Oil, Station 3, $3,381.34. Last one I have here is, that's the same one as Gephardt and Kiefer, so I'm done.
I have not, go ahead, you can skip over.
One for emergency services, for the garage, for performing annual service inspections and service. In the amount of $2,376.30. Finch Fuel Oil Company, this is for the library. Fuel oil, $1,144.78.
Griffith Ally Trucking, diesel fuel, $8,019.75. Griffith Ally Trucking, gas, $1,136.81. Griffith Ally Trucking again for more gasoline, $2,104.87. Griffith Ally Trucking again, gasoline, $1,552.10. Morton Salt Company, road salt, $3,996 even. Reed Systems, it's like a bunch of different repair parts, in the amount of $1,005.24. And this one here is Morris County Op Fee, $1,100 even. Updike Sales and Service, more parts, DPW, $1,075.59. Patriotic Office Cleaning, Police Department, $1,405 even. Finch Fuel Company, Number 2 Fuel Oil, Missile Building, $2,091.73. RK Occupational Environmental, this is an overdue bill with the sampling and inspections of the environmental building side here, $1,813.75. And I spent enough money, I think.
Yeah, a lot of bills.
Okay, I have one. In Huron County Library, first quarter, library tax, $76,958.53.
Okay. I have none that apply, and so the bill list is through January 18th, today, 2023, $998,178.64. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
For discussion, I'm going to vote no to this. I called it a private party because I'm not aware of what the invitation policy was. Numerous employees weren't aware that it was happening. Volunteers for the township weren't aware that it was happening. I don't know how it was advertised. I don't know why 6,000 residents didn't show up. I look at the receipt list. There was an open bar where somebody ordered a $30 18-year-old scotch. I don't think the township residents should be paying for that. So I'm voting no to the bill list.
Plenty of
residents showed up in the
vote. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's your choice.
Yes.
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 Abstain. All right. So with that, we'll go on to I've got some correspondence from the Recreation Commission. This is a purchase request for upcoming recreation events. Yeah, okay, so
it was a joint.
I was going to say, yeah, as I was looking at this. Saturday, February 4th, rain date Saturday, February 11th, is the Fire and Ice Winter Festival right out here at the park. Saturday, January 21st, Winter Walk at Crystal Springs. We managed to get those up on the website, which was good, last-minute entries. Sunday, February 26th, Fire Building at Teetertown Preserve. Sunday, March 12th, Nature Walk at Point Mountain. And Sunday, April 2nd, rain date, April 8th, Easter Egg Hunt. And the next is the curator's report. I don't know if you want to read it.
Nothing to really add. I'd like to just highlight the new acquisition. There's recently the museum has accepted a marble top dresser with a mirror that was in the mansion of Governor Forster Voorhees. This was donated by one of his descendants who was able to deliver the piece to us. It is being incorporated into the museum's permanent display. It's a lovely addition to the collection, and it also provides an opportunity to share the history and story of Governor Voorhees in our state park. So a pretty interesting piece. I think everyone should stop by and take a look at it. And if someone can figure out the wood, let us know. The tone looks like mahogany, but not sure. Anyway, very interesting.
What is it, reddish brown?
It's on the second floor.
Sort of reddish brown? Sort of reddish brown?
Yeah.
Like a mahogany,
yeah,
maybe?
Mahogany, yeah, mahogany or cherry wood. Interesting.
Okay. Well, with that, we come to public comment. For anything you want to talk about, can I get a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make that motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Anything? Nope.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hall Road. I have several things, but one thing is that we've, for us as a public, has pushed that whatever yous are going to discuss is on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So all the things Brian is going to talk about should be on the agenda so that we have a chance to comment in the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if you're talking about under the stairwell, that stairwell on the other side, that's all rec stuff.
No. This is not stuff I'm talking about.
Okay.
I want to just clarify what you're saying. What Brian talked about.
It's not on the agenda.
I understand that. I think just provided information. There was no discussion about that. It was simple information.
But in the past, it's a complaint of the public that things, yous are discussing things that are not on the agenda. And so for years now, whatever was discussed,
I don't remember ever really being like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it has been.
When we had stuff to bring up, we would bring it up and speak out.
Well,
you know, it's not going to be voted on.
That's why I asked them to look at the trees for later.
It's just been something that's been in the past. Okay, then now my biggest concern, and we discussed it last night at the planning board, is this floodplain ordinance that yous are going to vote on in a month. And it seems that nobody really has much information. My biggest concern in here, because I am in the floodplain, according to the county and my engineer that I had to get an elevation certificate, the only way I can get an elevation is to spend thousands of dollars, plus Steve Reese is one I talked to in the past. So as I'm reading, so now I own my house. I don't need flood insurance. I paid $2,700 the last time I had it. And the way I'm reading this ordinance, that if I want to do anything on my house, I have to show that flood elevation. So for me to do work on my house, I have to spend over $3,000 to prove that my house won't flood, to get that elevation. So that's something that doesn't seem like anyone really understands what that ordinance is going to do to residents in this town. And before, you only have a whole month to be able to find that information, and I believe you only have now two more meetings, just this body, to be able to find out, because you can't discuss it among yourselves unless you're at a public meeting. So it's always a concern that how do you, yous are pushing these things through that it's going to affect us without how much research can you actually do. So I really want someone to, whoever you find that can explain it, to explain it to me, so when we have that hearing.
Well, I understand. We're not pushing it through. We're being forced to do what we're doing.
Yeah, but you aren't even understanding what you're being forced to do.
That would be the engineer.
I don't believe that's true. I think some of us have an understanding of it going forward and have read it and studied it.
Okay,
and
so you know, give me an understanding.
It will kick in. If you're in a floodplain, it certainly will affect, you know, the potential of your residents to do things. But it depends on your elevation and if you're in a floodplain, the way I've been told, and it will mean a permit system that you have to go through,
mm-hmm.
That you will have to do. And that's not just you. It's anyone that sits in those areas.
I understand it, but
And one of the creeks is the Willoughby has been very studied well in this report.
But they Bush ended Run, at the end of my road.
Willoughby.
They never finished up. I do not have a baseline. So I cannot get an elevation certificate. I have a folder like this. I've talked to the county. I've talked to mm-hmm. FEMA. Because it's a lot of money. Every year it went up, so I don't know what it would be now since I haven't had to pay for it. But basically, I couldn't get an elevation. FEMA denied me my elevation certificate, and that would have frozen my flood insurance, the premium. So what I'm reading in this ordinance is saying that if I want to do anything on my house, I have to get that elevation. So the only way I can get it is for me to do that floodplain survey, 100 floodplain, like some people already have.
My understanding was that if you were to do some kind of substantial improvement,
yeah,
OK, Okay. And that ranges now from a lot of things, from replacing a window to replacing cabinets. And the reason they do the substantial improvement, even though it's not structural, is to capture it in insurance because it could be a substantial loss. So let's say you put new cabinets in your house, mm-hmm. and you're like, what's this got to do with floodplain? What it has to do with is the insurance, so that you're covered, that those new cabinets, if the house gets flooded, you get covered.
No, not for me. My flood insurance, it only included my property, not my house.
My understanding is when you apply for the permit, it will trigger, depending on your elevation, and a permit will have to be issued that permit.
I know, but I can't get an elevation because I don't have a
basic. The engineers, the plats should be done by the engineers because my understanding is your address will trigger whether you need that permit or not.
Well, I know that's what I was told. I know that it'll trigger that I need it. That's my concern because Steve Reese told me, so he sent me to the engineers, told me I can get this elevation. But I do not have a base flood. You should have a base where the... There's a base flood amount. They ended that at the end, the bottom of the road at the S-turn on Buffalo Hollow. That's where they stopped.
Bottom by Sunoco?
No, at the end of Buffalo Hollow, mm-hmm. where the S-turn is, where they go around the bridge. Mm-hmm. That's where they stopped with that baseline. So the county says, and my engineer both agreed, that I should not have to be put under the floodplain unless they came up with this baseline. Because we weren't always under the flood zone. I think it was 2008 or 9 that they put it under. And so last night at the planning board, a gentleman spoke about how they're using drones now, and that's how they put us under it. So when he said by the resolution, so when there was a flood, they went and put a drone out and did it. So my backyard, where across the brook, that floods. But my house is on a hill. So if I had a baseline, I would be able to prove that, and I wouldn't need to have flood insurance. But because that drone didn't see, my house literally could not flood, besides Voorhees Park flooding out before it'll come up that high. But if I could, so then my easiest thing was to get an elevation, but because I don't have a baseline, so this paper is basically, if I want to do anything on my house, it's going to force me to get that elevation certificate. So is our engineers...
I'm not in agreement with all this, and I do agree with Bonnie that this is kind of coming on a fast track and being pushed. And it's going to affect a substantial amount of people in this township.
It's going to affect people that are not in the A zone. Because now everyone's going into the A zone.
This is part of the tier A and tier B. When we get into it, it's changing.
Well, I know that I'm in A, but people down the end of the road, I think they're in Z, but they're going to come up to A. So
everybody,
they're going to mm-hmm. be financially.
Everyone.
They're if they don't know
the whole
financially,
township.
They're going to be affected. But is our engineers going to be able to mm-hmm. give me that baseline? Do the study for that baseline? So that's the thing is it's. You start saying being pushed, but at some point you need to. The state has to listen to what is actually happening to our town.
I don't disagree with you.
So it's like I don't want you to just go ahead and agree with it, and then we're stuck with whatever's decide because there's not much. Last night nobody really understood it. More people in the audience did.
I took a lot of notes last night. Based on what was said, and I mean, we just had our initial meeting with the engineer. What was it last week?
Yeah,
this is like last week. Seems like 10 years ago already. But
you can't put this off for like another month. So you just have more time to. Because we talked last night of not putting in when it talked about the shore things shouldn't be in our ordinance. Like, can't you make it township specific?
I'm not sure about putting it off. I would defer that to Mr. Roselli if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's been through the
delay. I thought this was a fast track.
Yeah, it went through the DEP already. I think it was approved on December 8th, December 2nd. So now it's into the next phase. And he gave us, Ted actually said make it the 18th for the public hearing, which is longer than the usual ordinance because we need that time. But
February 15th.
15th, I keep thinking the 18th. I don't know why. It's my grandmother's birthday, I think. That's why. So.
Just not familiar with it. Let's see what the process is.
Yeah, so.
Adopted in other towns. I'm surprised you guys haven't adopted one already.
So I don't want to.
Surprised what?
I mean, other towns have adopted. I'd have to see what your process is and where you are. And I'll take a look at the ordinance, too.
Yeah, I mean, we literally found out about it. I mean, that's why we set the meeting up. We're like, what? I mean, so if it's been in the works, we were not notified. So.
Paul Gamm, Lance Drive. Do we know within that ordinance what things are? Because I understand that some of this is FEMA, right? The federal government, they draw the maps, they implement, you know, that. They provide the insurance. In a lot of cases, there is private insurance that's available. But oftentimes, it's the federal government's providing the backstop, which is why they're pushing this out to kind of manage their risk, like you said, on the insurable interest side of it. And so do we know, like, kind of by components of the ordinance, which items are eligible for modifications and which ones are not?
I'm not familiar with the ordinance. In general, I am, because I think you guys introduced it at reorg, right, and then you referred it. So I haven't had a chance to look at it. So I'll have to look at it and then also talk to the engineer to see what their comments are. But I'm just not familiar enough to comment on it.
Okay. I mean, because it looks like there are a number of different situations, which, again, I think part of the problem is it takes time.
Typically, you know, there's a template, right? Right. It does come from the state, and then you have to make the townships, right, have to make certain decisions relative to how you implement it. So, your first answer your first question, yes, you sort of tailor it, and typically that has to do with who becomes the, you know, where appeals are made, the board where the appeals are made to, who the officer is who's involved in dealing with the applications, and then, you know, those types of decisions. A lot of it is boilerplate that you can't necessarily change, because, again, there's a template that the state does give to you and say, hey, here it is, make your modifications where you need to make your modifications. And a lot of it's tied to the elevation maps, right? Those maps are drawn, they get approved. And then, you know, then that sets everything else in motion once they've been approved to your municipality.
Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like there's, you know, different situations where you can change technical data. There's a conditional letter of map revision that can be submitted, but that takes time. It takes, you know, right, 6 months, a year, you know, whatever it takes for FEMA to look at it. And one of the statements that I made during the planning board session is that I think – you know, one thing that could be looked at, and I don't know if this is, it has to be looked at by each individual resident, or if it's something that there's a broader approach that we can find some commonalities between scenarios like, oh, hey, I live on the top of a hill, but I'm next to the beginning of a stream. Well, the likelihood of my house flooding compared to somebody who is downstream because of the volume of water is a lot less. So are there, but also one of the things that I brought up was that, you know, in some cases, they spend less money and less effort at the federal level dealing with rural areas because there's just not as much insurance risk for FEMA when it comes to paying claims. So they will dumb down the data. They will look at a 30-meter resolution grid instead of a 1-meter resolution grid cell to figure out where does the water go. And so, perfect example of when somebody's house is built up and it's built up off the slab and you've got some elevation, water's smart. It'll go downhill. And so unless you have that ability for the water to get above your first finished floor elevation, you're not going to end in a scenario where you've got flooding. So just, I guess, a point is if there's anything that we can do from a town's perspective to identify areas of commonality that maybe multiple people within the community are going to have the same situation, is there a way to make that easier on everybody else?
Keith Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. In discussing in the new business section where there wasn't an amount of money designated for your reorganization evening party, I have to tell you, I wouldn't want your jobs, and I really do think that there ought to be some recognition that you are representing us. And I think for next month for new business, you should put back an amount of money that's available for people that are at the reorganization meeting that are going to be representing us. And if people here in the building want to go, I don't see a problem with that. I don't think you're going to fit 6,000 people in here. So I don't see where it's a huge issue. I would rather see you people have a recognition of our appreciation for what you do. So I would hope that maybe you would consider that at your next month's meeting.
Any other public comment? If not, can I get a motion to close?
Sharon Petzinger, Dogwood Drive, and now Chair of the Environmental Open Space Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So I would like to commend you, Mayor Kohler, because I don't know if everybody knows this, but you reached out to me in end of December to talk to me about this. And it's no secret that I ran against you in the election. And so I just want to commend you for doing that, for reaching out in a spirit of collaboration, and for making this appointment. I really do appreciate it. It has not gone unnoticed.
Thank you. And I appreciate how quickly you called me back. And every time, every couple of times I called you, called me right back, you know. So that's good. And I think you're going to do a great job on the Environmental Commission. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. So my first business as chair of the Environmental Open Space Commission is to advocate for my members. And so we have an alternate who's been on the Environmental Open Space Commission for somewhere between 5 or 6 years, 2017, 2018 he joined us. Very active member, even as an alternate, good attendance, and recommended unanimously to be a regular member. So I would like to advocate for his appointment as a regular member on the EOSC. And I would also advocate for a planning board EOSC planning board member appointment sooner rather than later, because right now the planning board has no EOSC participant. And when we have the floodplain ordinance that the planning board is going to review, you're missing a component of that, the EOSC component of that. And so I encourage you. The EOSC also unanimously recommended somebody to be represent them on the planning board. So I encourage
you. Sharon, I assume you're going to follow up with a letter to us with that information?
I had sent that to to Mayor Kohler, to my liaison, Mike Schmidt, and I believe I copied Karen Sandors on that one. So yeah, I can definitely send that to the entire committee if you would prefer. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment?
Mike Falconeri, Bunvale Road. I'd also like to thank you for my appointment to the planning board. I appreciate it. I look forward to serving and look forward to getting sworn in after some confusion. My question is, I'm probably not going to use the right terminology here, in respect to these ordinances that come from the state, how does that actually work? Because, you know, simple-minded, civics, federal, state, local level. So I don't understand how that works. And I don't know if everybody else here does.
Yeah, well, you want
to... I'll be honest with you. They seem to come as a template.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the template, there's wording in there that has nothing to do with Lebanon Township.
Mm-hmm.
It just bothers me. So I've always tried to watch these as they come through over the last few years to try to comb out what doesn't have any kind of respect towards Lebanon, the best I can. But there's some things that I just don't agree with in regional zoning. I just don't agree with it. And this seems to be a movement, I feel, in that direction. So I'm very careful of watching ordinances that are templated. That's just me. That might not be the committee. That's just me, my opinion. I like to read them. I like to see what they're about. I like to see what issues residents may have with their property. Just something in my boilerplate So to answer your question, I don't think it works either. It takes a lot of work and sitting with the engineer like Brian and Bev did, asking them questions, and I wrote some questions they answered on behalf of me at the meeting they had. So we're behind the curve. We're trying to catch up, but we're not sitting here and not doing our diligent job to look at these ordinances. So I kind of sympathize with what you're saying, that how does it work? I'm not sure yet either.
So what stops a municipality, if it is quasi-independent of state and federal government, from just saying no? I know there's funding involved and stuff like that.
Lawsuits, all kinds of great stuff. There is some talk about multiple towns possibly getting together.
Yes.
To coalition.
Oppose this.
I guess I'm asking more of a civics question overall.
Right. Can I address something?
Yes. Yes.
Sure. So, right. We're not the United States of America that started back in the 1700s.
Absolutely.
So what happens is a lot of time it's tied to funding, right? And then where does jurisdiction lie? And a lot of these things, the federal government goes back to these gargantuan Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, right? Those have tentacles that come down to Lebanon Township, and that's where it comes from, right? So the federal government, the Congress passes a law that deals with different situations that passes down to the states, and because of the states, it passes down to the township. And typically, when it comes with respect to environmental situations, whether it's something like this or things you can do, that's where the genesis is. And then tied with that, money comes from the federal government down to the states, right? So it's always about the money. Just follow the money. So the federal government says, if you want this money, well, you have to ensure that you have these regulations in place at the state level, and then you state have to then make sure that your local municipality has them as well, because otherwise you're not going to get the money. And they cover it with protecting. I'm not against protecting the environment. I get it, right? And obviously, with respect to the flood issues, after a couple of storms, especially down in South Jersey, where the maps were so old and nice, people lost their properties. In one of my towns I represent, Old Bridge, they lost whole neighborhood because the neighborhood was in a bowl. But that's where it happens. And so you're really not. You try to be as independent as you can. But usually comes down to federal law tied to funding that makes its way through the municipalities. And, right, what do they do? And, I kind of use a joke. Well, this is being recorded. I used to tell some of my municipal clients, were they going to throw you in DCA jail, right, because Department of Community Affairs oversees municipalities. Because some of the things that they ask towns to do is just stupid. It's just downright stupid. And it doesn't.
I think most of us agree.
Right. It doesn't make sense. Right. And so with that comes unfunded mandates. It happens all the time. So the state tells you, municipality, for instance, when they changed tier A, tier B, and then that had to do with now if depending on where they move most towns, they have to go get street sweepers now because they have to go through the streets. Most small towns can't afford street sweepers. Most big towns can't afford street sweepers. Right. For what? Because, interestingly enough, there's data out there, and somebody was talking about the data. There's data out there that they're not going to say, we can pinpoint exactly that there's potential contamination coming from sources that fall into this particular tributary or stream. They just base it upon modeling. It's all done on modeling, right? So here's the model, and this is what we think is going to happen. And so they create these models that obviously are built for a particular purpose. It's like creating a means to an end, right? It's like the United States Supreme Court. Most judges, and I don't care, I say it all the time, most judges have a result. So how do we get to that result? Let's back our way in, right? So if I want a particular something to happen a particular way, let's create the modeling such that it's going to force people to act. And that's what happens. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so, who's the loser at the end? All of us, because we're taxpayers, right?
Sure.
So, right, civics lesson is we're not who we used to be, and we're not, and we lost control of who we are, and it's unfortunate. And a lot of these things come down from the federal government through the state government, and then they try to do. What can they do? Right, they can. you know, I don't mean, you're right, could they exact fines on you? They could exact fines on you if they wanted to, right? They can start, you know, taking, if there's certain aid that you don't qualify for, monies you get, they can start taking that stuff away from you, right? So those are the things that they ended up doing. They'll, you know, force you to go to the administrative law hearing, and then the judge forces you to do stuff, hold you in contempt, hold committee members in contempt if they don't vote. It's been known to happen.
Mm. That's a good warning.
So I guess the true lesson here is the price of liberty is vigilance.
Yeah.
Mm. Always.
Always. Thank you.
Yeah. And persistence. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Paul Gamm again. One point of commentary is that, you know, I think across the United States, part of the issue has been a lot of folks that, you know, frankly, don't have insurance, but they have been getting flooded. You saw that back with, you know, Hurricane Ike that hit Texas. There's a whole bunch of social issues associated with building low government housing in flood zones that are known to flood. It's like, well, why would we rebuild after Galveston gets flooded and put new low-cost housing there on the taxpayer dollar, as a question that's been raised. And so at the end of the day, FEMA pays for, and NFIP pays for all of these insurance claims, and or they pay for hazard assistance after the event for people who don't have insurance because they're not in a mandatory flood zone. They're not in an A zone or in a V zone where they're mandated to have insurance. And so in we just had Ida come through a couple of years ago. Everybody has seen all of the furniture out on the streets. If you spend any time in Somerville or the Bridgewater, that area of town, and a very, very large portion of those losses were uninsured. So New Jersey does have an issue, but I think the key thing is, how do you differentiate yourself from the model, right?
Right.
Because the model will get employed, and it will get employed for the quote-unquote greater good, at least in terms of their definition of it. But there are a lot of people that are caught in the crosshairs that live on the top of the hill that get stuck, you know, in that situation that doesn't really apply to everybody else. So I think that's the nexus of the opportunity is, you know, how do we make sure that the ordinance fits the township as it should, but understanding the scope and what they're trying to accomplish is, I think.
Ray, if I can recall, there is an appeal process that's built into that ordinance for those situations, right?
Yep.
And then ultimately, you know, typically it's the zoning board who will hear it, because usually your zoning officer is involved. But so, yeah. because it doesn't fit. And let's say you're at the top of the hill and water's going to go downhill, right? Except in my house, it goes uphill. that's supposed to be, because, you know, you want to have a right to appeal, right to plead your case, right? Because it doesn't always fit in.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't looked at this one specifically in depth, but generally on the other towns that I've done it, there is an appeal process to address that issue.
Yeah, you can make adjustments to the flood insurance rate maps. They're called FIRMs.
Right.
It takes time, and it's probably not cheap. Yeah. Right, from doing the survey and figuring out the hydrology, all of the work that needs to be done, it's only to say that, it's a perverse kind of twist of how things work, in that they don't require you to have insurance when you own your house. It's a mortgage requirement. It's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that require you. If your mortgage was sold, if you got it from PPAC Gladstone, it gets sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it's their requirements that force you to have insurance when there's a mortgage in place. So from that standpoint, once you own your house, you can take as much risk as you want. You don't have to buy the flood insurance, but it does cost you in the end, because when you go to sell that property and somebody does have a mortgage on it, then they're going to be the ones that have to pay for that new flood insurance determination that was made, and so therefore you've lost some equity because you're not able to sell the house for what you think you should be able to. So that's really the sticky point for those that don't have a mortgage. But I guess, and I know I'm kind of going maybe more information than people necessarily want to hear, but I think the key thing is that if we can come up with almost like a frequently asked questions, or like, hey, you know, if you're somebody that you feel is in this situation, here are the different resources that you have, especially if there's nothing that we can do from a township perspective to prevent these scenarios. You know, here are your resources. Here's where you can go and your options if you're put into this situation. I think that's the minimum that we could all do.
No other public comment? Can I get a motion to close public
comment? I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we're going to be going into executive session to discuss personnel and a litigation issue. So...
make a motion.
Motion. There's a,
make
a
motion to adopt the resolution.
Can we have a motion to go into executive session?
Second.
I don't think there's action. Is there action going to be taken?
No.
No action's no action will be taken.
I'll make a motion.
Give me a motion. I second.
Yeah.
So Karen, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we taken a vote on this?
You're gonna make a motion to adjourn into executive session. Then you don't come back in, do you, typically?
Yes. Go ahead. Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yes.
I'll talk to you about another procedure afterwards.